I'm sure the phrase, actions speak louder than words, is one that you're all familiar with. And as you think of that phrase, I'm sure there are many here who can think of people whose actions, both good and bad, have given away who they really are without a word being spoken. To start with the small and insignificant, last week as we welcomed Molly Fenton in baptism at 11 a.m, there was a loud awe from the congregation as Molly decided to give me a hug, perhaps suggesting that I'm not quite as frightening to be near as some of you seem to believe. But we will all have experienced friends who have offered real support when life was hard, and others who have walked away when they were really needed. Or maybe the bigger memories are of strangers who've walked into our lives briefly and turned around how we feel about ourselves and the world. Some of you may remember the Channel 4 documentary in May called The Stranger on the Bridge, where a young man searched for the man who had talked him round from jumping off London's Waterloo Bridge. The actions of that one person had been so important to Johnny Benjamin that he had been offered the support that would allow him to deal with the difficult mental health that he'd struggled with since childhood. It's a story that offers the encouragement to grasp the significance of how we respond to others. It makes clear that at times it's not the words that make the difference, but the activity of being there and spending time. Throughout the gospel story, clear indication is made that when it comes to telling of the love of God, it has to be about more than what is said. The challenges Jesus makes around the religious leaders of the gospel regularly challenge their use of words and their inability to turn what they know of God into an action that benefits those who are most in need of knowing the love of God. So the readings we hear this morning should come as no surprise, although we may not immediately catch the challenge to allow our lives to demonstrate God in all our actions. While I would like to linger over the James passage, and trust me, I really would, it's going to sit on our memories as we think about word and action. It's to act as a reminder that actions are more powerful than words. In our passage from Mark's Gospel, we seem to encounter two differing moods of Jesus and two differing moments for the disciple Peter. In the first part of our reading, we find Peter reaching to the heights of his knowledge and understanding as he proclaims, "You are the Christ." While only moments later, as he tries to stop Jesus from speaking about his death, Peter finds himself rebuked and named as Satan. While we may not immediately recognize it, the first and second story connect together, with the first enlightening the second. As we read the gospel, we should be aware of the disparity of knowledge between the disciples and us, the readers. We read the gospel knowing what is coming. We know that at times when what Jesus says and does, that in these times they give an indication that of the presence of the creative power of God in human history. We know that the words and actions are reminding and reinforcing what is to come. We are a resurrection people who live in the knowledge of the Creator's transforming power over life and death. But the disciples are not. The disciples have none of that knowledge. Instead, everything they encounter of Jesus happens for the first time. At times, it can seem as though the gospel writer is using this to comic effect, and he most certainly allows it to create irony and suspense in the story. In what we heard today, we should have noticed the myriad of titles that are being used to describe Jesus. He asks Peter, "Who do people say that I am?" Peter comes back with two: John the Baptist and Elijah before finally making his own confession of faith that he believes Jesus is the Christ or the Messiah. Jesus himself will use the title Son of Man in the second part of the reading. By drawing our attention to the first two of these titles, we are drawn towards two aspects of Jesus that are being understood by those around him. The reference to John the Baptist calls to mind the imagery of the suffering servant, while Elijah points towards the prophetic nature of Jesus' presence. While those on the edges, those who stand around the life of Jesus, may have seen one or other of those, the power of the two titles together introduces a prophetic ministry that will end in suffering and death. Here is the spoken word of the action that is to come. Bringing Peter's confession and Jesus' rebuke together allows us to look at questions of identity and expectations. For Peter, the Messiah, the Christ, was a figure of hope who would redeem the people of Israel, freeing them from all that oppressed them. To hear Jesus speak of the suffering and rejection of the Messiah would have run contrary to what he understood. Jesus's rebuke gives an indication that Peter has not really understood who Jesus is. Peter's action in stopping Jesus from speaking of suffering and death suggests that he does not know who Jesus is, or the transformation that will be brought to others through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Well, not at this point in the gospel. Who do we say that Jesus is? Do our actions betray our inability to live as those who really believe that the presence of the living God is with us and has the power to transform our lives and the life of the world? As the community of the Abbey Church of Dunfermline, who are we saying that Jesus is? In the welcome we offer Sunday by Sunday and daily from Holy Week to October, we hopefully tell people that our understanding of Jesus is of someone who offers a welcome. Our encounter with Jesus means we're keen to say yes to those who cross our paths and offer them a seat in our building or allow them an insight into what we believe and value from our faith. Of course, some find saying yes or being welcoming easier than others. And occasionally we may be a little bit miffed if someone sits in our favourite seat or makes the wrong noise in the wrong place. But for the most part, we communicate the welcome presence of Jesus to those who come into our building. But Jesus asks us individually and corporately, who do you say that I am? And I wonder what we believe we communicate of Christ's presence in our lives. Do we exhibit his compassion and healing? As we encounter friend and stranger, do we find it easy to offer help, to be there in times of need, to place ourselves in places where we cannot think of an answer to offer? Is the generosity of Jesus a regular feature of our lives? When we think about our income, our time, and our talents, where does sharing any of those come in our commitment to church and charity? Perhaps we expect much from others, but do we respond selfishly or unselfishly so that others might have the opportunity to discover faith and then grow into their own place within Christ's community? I feel quite harsh about that one. And I feel quite harsh because I know that in the past people have stood in this pulpit and said, think about what you're giving. And many people have thought about that in terms of money. But recently I've called from the table, are there those who are willing to help with the children, a significant part of the work of the church? And I still wait for the door to knock. What do we say of our belief in discipleship, friendship, fellowship, and hospitality? These are key markers of Christian faith. And yet here at our table, there still remains some divisions, as it would appear we say that only once you've achieved a certain age can you sit within our fellowship. And if we truly valued our social events and our outreach activities, they would be overwhelmed by those who want to be part of them. How do our lives reflect the justice of Jesus? What cause are we prepared to fight to ensure others are treated fairly? Do we try the simple task of changing shopping habits and buying goods that ensure those who produce the goods receive the fairest wage? Are we showing our care of creation by, wherever possible, buying locally produced goods, or even simply doing the recycling? These may seem like a list of questions with an indeterminable amount of answers that depend on who you are and where you are in life. And every preacher has to understand that. And yet each of these questions and more is hidden behind the one question Jesus asks. Who do you say that I am? We only truly answer that question when we recognise that how we live and how we respond to others say more than words can ever say. Choosing to live by faith means allowing it to seep into every pore and every fibre so that our actions become the visible presence of Christ in every ordinary day. Who will you say that Jesus is? Amen.